farms may be small because they serve small markets. They're not going to be able to justify the investments in modern technologies, things like specialized machinery in a factory or specialized skills such as marketing or R&D or management skills, given their small scale.
Welcome to Vox Dev Talks. My name is Tim Phillips. Small businesses in low, middle-income countries provide most of the employment, but they could provide many more jobs if the best of them could unlock their potential to grow. So do they need more training? Do they need more credit? Do they need more skilled employees? Or do they need better access to people who would buy their goods and services? In the latest of our collaborations with JPEL to discuss their policy insights, I'm talking to David Atkin of MIT. He's also co-chair of JPEL's firms sector, about how we could do a better job of connecting firms and entrepreneurs to markets. David, welcome back to Vox Dev Talks.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here.
David, I said these firms are important as a source of employment. How important are they?
The answer is very. It's hard to measure some of these things, but the World Bank estimated that about 90% of all jobs come from private sector firms, broadly defined. And so, you know, I think about firms and firm growth is really central to solving many of the key development problems.
Okay, I'm going to ask you another question that's probably pretty hard to answer. How much additional economic growth could they deliver if they were more productive?
Let me give two answers to that. So the first answer is potentially a lot. There's a classic study by Hall and Jones, who does an accounting exercise and attributes most of the differences in GDP per capita across countries to different levels of productivity, broadly defined. And so, you know, if Nigeria was able to be as productive as the US, it would be vastly closer in incomes. But there's a lot in that residual that we're going to call productivity there. Mm-hmm. We also have micro studies more recently where we can try and measure the productivity of SMEs and firms in developing countries and maybe try and compare them to similar exercises in developed countries. And there we also see that these developing country firms are massively less productive. Although one caveat there is often a lot of that is scale. If you're comparing a very small textile operation employing three or four workers inside a house, then obviously they're using very different equipment and scale than a massive factory in North Carolina or something of that sort. So we would want to try and separate scale from actual productivity differences.
In helping these firms to be more productive, I mentioned policies. Policies that we discuss all the time on Vox Dev Talks, like provision of credit and skills training. That's not what we're talking about today, but how successful have these initiatives been in helping firms to become more successful?
We have seen impacts for sure. Certain types of programs, certain contexts have been quite successful. But the overall takeaway has been that there has been a lot of heterogeneity and many programs haven't shown even short-term impacts on productivity and employment. And so, you know, it's an active area trying to work out how to do those programs better. I think what there's a broader consensus on is that the long-term impacts on firm growth, especially employment growth, have been pretty elusive from these types of policies. So I would say limited our success.
Okay, let's focus on what we are discussing today. What's the alternative, the market access explanation for why well-run firms in low, middle-income countries are not more successful at the moment?
I think there's, again, two ideas here. Mm-hmm. The first idea, which is maybe the basic logic, is that firms may be small because they serve small markets. And this means they're not going to be able to justify the investments in modern technologies, things like specialized machinery in a factory or specialized skills such as marketing or R&D or management skills, given their small scale. Here, there may be complementarities between what we were just speaking about, these supply-side interventions like credit and training, and demand-side ones like market access. So, for example, giving firms loans may have pretty low returns if they don't have the ability to expand the customer base and so can't really justify buying that expensive machine. And so there we think that, you know, maybe market access could make, say, microcredit policies more successful. Now, there's a second force at play here as well. an additional benefit that comes from greater market access, which is that knowledge and ideas may flow from the buyers and suppliers linked through greater market access. And there you may actually see productivity rise, and we'll see a further boost there through market access.
So when we're talking about these demand side improvements, is our policy goal here to make all these existing firms more successful, or is it to improve that process of creative destruction so that works more efficiently and the best firms grow more quickly?
I sound like a broken record here, but I think the answer is probably a bit of both. Some market access initiatives are simply kind of reducing the costs of reaching other markets. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this might be improving infrastructure, etc. And so this is going to lower the cost for any specific firm to sell goods and services in other markets. That's going to make firms more successful. They can now lower their costs of selling to a foreign buyer. Now, of course, this additional trade will potentially lead some firms to expand and others to shrink alongside the size of the pie growing, since now less stuff is wasted when I have to move these goods and services across space. So I wouldn't think of this necessarily as making the process of creative destruction work more efficiently. That would be like a policy which might make it easier to open or close firms or to hire and fire workers. But I would expect more productive firms to grow and less productive ones to shrink as markets are integrated. So this process of creative destruction will magnify the aggregate benefits, but also create winners and losers from standard policies that reduce the costs of accessing different markets.
In general terms, what does existing research tell us about the dimensions of improving market access that matter?
Here we're drawing on a number of studies, I think about 15 we cover in the policy brief. But broadly speaking, we have programs that try to reduce these frictions preventing trade between markets. I talked about infrastructure, but also we might think about tariff reductions or such like. So that's kind of your classic market integration, better roads. There, we don't have many randomized control trials, but we have a large body of reasonably rigorous empirical work. Then we have kind of a set of programs that try and reduce what we might call information frictions and or matching frictions. And so here we're thinking about firms who might struggle to find buyers, or they don't know where to look for those buyers, or they don't even know that their products could be sold profitably elsewhere. Here, we probably also want to lump in programs that are going to train firms on how to market or to sell abroad, or potentially even to sell domestically to big domestic buyers or the government, or programs that try and bring firms onto online platforms or to trade fairs. And here, of course, there's this distinction between, these programs they already knew about and knew how well they worked and chose not to do them. And then we're subsidizing them. And we think those gains might be more slight than if they didn't even know these types of programs existed, then the gains might be larger since they haven't already made a choice and not to do them. We've seen successes with each of these types of intervention. We've also seen a few failures. For example, providing firms with training to export hasn't panned out particularly well thus far. But the thing I would really stress here is that in terms of knowing what works and what does not, unlike, say, with microcredit or with business training, there's just very, very, very few studies on market access. We're very early stages. And so I think we're going to need a bunch more research before coming to stronger conclusions on what works and what does not.
When we're talking about the markets to develop, given the constraints that you've already alluded to in domestic markets, what is it more important to develop? Is it to try and make the best of those domestic markets, or is it trying to help those firms to export?
So here, I don't think the answer is so clear cut. And of course, the world's a bigger market than any one country.
Sure.
And so that kind of makes the case for export markets. But it's also more costly to trade far away, to trade across countries. And so, everything else equal, a firm in, say, the second biggest city in Burundi is at a much bigger cost advantage if they try and sell their goods in Mongolia than in the biggest city in Burundi. And so there's just likely to be far less trade if you're trying to trade at long distances. And if there's less trade, there's going to be smaller gains from that trade. That's the side where, maybe we should start with nearby markets rather than start trying to sell these goods at long distances. Now, All of that said, these export markets may be much larger. And if we're talking about a firm who already is very successful selling domestically, then maybe their only option is to start selling abroad. They've already sold all of this type of product that Burundi is willing to buy, and now they need to start looking to other markets. And the second thing, as I and others have documented, we also think that there's the potential for learning to occur, for knowledge flows to occur when you sell products to more sophisticated buyers than you, or sophisticated buyers more generally. And so this is going to provide that additional bump as productivity is going to go up beyond any scale effects. And here, we think that mechanism is particularly relevant when poor countries are selling to richer countries, mm-hmm. or when local firms are selling to multinationals. But there may also be similar types of effects. If I'm rural Indian firm and we manage to provide market access to Bombay, there may also be these types of knowledge flows domestically as well. But that would be the case where we think selling to richer countries might be particularly beneficial.
You mentioned the teaching firms how to export. The track record on that is not great from existing policy interventions. What's working, and importantly in this case, what's not working?
We're extrapolating from a small number of studies, but we have a couple of training initiatives where owners and managers were giving information about how to export and their skills were improved. And here we didn't see a lot of action. That's in Vietnam and Colombia. Only maybe the largest firms in Vietnam, did we see any impacts, and nothing in Colombia. Where we've seen a little more success is when these export promotion programs essentially work with the larger firms who may already have the abilities to export, and those larger firms or intermediaries bring in many smaller firms as suppliers to them. I have a study in Egypt, which operated through that channel, and there's a nice study in Vietnam showing that training firms together with the exporters was more likely to lead to sales and sustained exports.
Is it also the case that perhaps the entrepreneurs, even successful entrepreneurs in the markets that we're talking about, maybe aren't so skilled in marketing or don't put so much resource into marketing? If that's the case, can we intervene to help?
So here the results are much more positive. There's some nice RCTs in South Africa, Nigeria, and Liberia, all pointing in the same direction that many firms lack marketing skills, and there may be higher returns or equally high returns to training firms in marketing as in kind of financial skills or productivity enhancing skills. And there's this nice paper in Nigeria showing that there are real benefits to bringing in outside marketing skills in order to boost sales for your firm as well. So I think this is a very promising area where these types of interventions can be rolled out either alongside existing training or as complements to various firm-level assistance programs or credit programs.
One innovation of the last decade that we have high hopes for were digital platforms, something like AliExpress, for example, which exposes a lot of small firms in developing markets to potential buyers overseas. What's the record on that? Do we have evidence that these sort of platforms are helping small firms to find new customers?
An excellent question. The huge promise of these platforms was it's extremely cheap for a company to get on these platforms. They upload a bit of information, they sign up, and the platform facilitates a lot of the difficulties that a firm would normally face in matching with a foreign buyer. But those benefits have a flip side, which is there's so many sellers now on these platforms that it's, you know, really hard to make yourself visible to the consumer who's looking for a particular product. You know, that's what this early research on AliExpress has shown, is that these algorithms they're using are placing high weight on past performance and volumes, etc. Breaking into these platforms is still very difficult, even if I do have an opportunity to sign up from a rural African village and get on these platforms. Building up a big business through them is more difficult.
Clearly, finding market access to grow sales is the priority here. But when these policies succeed and these firms can find domestic customers or export customers, do we find that there are then spillover benefits? I'm thinking about things like better adherence to labor laws as these firms grow.
We're definitely finding increasing evidence of those types of effects. In general, foreign consumers, particularly in rich countries, demand better enforcement of labor laws, better treatment of workers, particularly female workers. And that does seem to have real impacts. There's a nice study in Bangladesh showing that multinational firms were able to enforce labor laws in ways that the government was not able to. We also have quasi-experimental evidence from Myanmar, looking at what happened with the surge in export opportunities to Japan in that case. And we see better safety records within firms, as well as improvements in female empowerment, reductions in domestic violence as well in those contexts. So I think there's really a potential to really improve the lot of the workers employed in those particular firms as a result of expansion of exports, particularly to these high income markets where the consumers are demanding these types of actions at firms.
As you mentioned, there are still a lot of open questions about this and not a huge body of research. Which questions are still open? Which questions would you like to see addressed by more research in this area?
So as you said, there's a lot more to do. And I think in all of these areas, more evidence needed. In the same way that we've learned a lot about what type of training programs work best and in what contexts, that work hasn't been done, certainly not to the same degree, with these types of market access initiatives. And there we might be asking what types of organizations, what types of programs are best suited to provide this assistance, what types of firms to target, and thinking about digital platforms or government procurement systems or access to infrastructure, how might these be leveraged and leveraged in particular to help marginalized groups, for example. And from a more theoretical bent, and also very important for policy, I think a kind of big question in the back here is, it's all well and good us helping a particular firms and their market access improves and they benefit. But as we discussed earlier, some of those gains come at the expense of firms elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And so we really need to think harder, I think, about, measuring those direct effects as well as the indirect effects on these firms' competitors, for example, and thinking hard about which types of programs are boosting firm productivity rather than most of the effects are coming from business stealing, i.e. the supported firms taking sales from the non-supported firms. And also, back to the discussion we had before, which of these programs are operating by essentially subsidizing things firms didn't want to do previously, but were aware of and knew how to do it, versus providing some service that wasn't available to them or some possibility that wasn't available to them, where we can likely get bigger effects since we don't already have that revealed preference that it wasn't worthwhile at the time. Of course, firms may also be misinformed, and that would be another interesting avenue to try and understand better. So I think there's a kind of huge amount of work to be done here. One final area I'd mention is, we talked briefly about multinationals above, but we think that private sector supply chains can play a really central role here in mediating that market access, on spreading knowledge throughout that supply chain and bringing about these improvements in market access in the first place. And that's an active area of research. It's a struggle to do our randomized control trials, and so not something we cover in as much detail in this particular policy brief, but a huge area and one that deserves further research. In general, I would definitely encourage researchers to think much more about these questions. I think this is a huge policy area and increasing amounts of policy interest, in part because, as you said earlier on in our discussion, many of the more traditional programs to boost firm growth haven't been so successful. And so there's a real desire to push further in these promising areas.
Important open questions and really interesting evidence that we have so far. David, thanks for talking about it today.
Wonderful, and thank you for having me on.
If you want to look up the policy insight, it's called Market Access: Connecting Firms and Entrepreneurs to Markets to Spur Business and Job Growth. And you can find it by going to www.povertyactionlab.org. And of course, when you read the insights, you will find links to the papers that we discussed. This has been a Vox Dev Talk, the best way to make sure you don't miss an episode. Subscribe. You'll find us wherever you get your podcast. Our past episodes, as always, are at voxdev.org. If you like what you're hearing, please tell someone else today about Vox Dev Talks, and then they get to hear discussions like this.